Lord bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Appreciated the Sunday school hour, and Brother Eddie Barnes did just a masterful job this morning, and I trust you enjoyed your Sunday school class as well. Appreciated the energy that was here this morning. Amen. Even before Sunday school, maybe it was New Year's resolutions, but as we took prayer requests this morning, or maybe it's everybody supporting our new assistant superintendent, but many of you were here early, and just appreciate the energy and the atmosphere. You know, some say, well, two or three are gathered together, and I understand that, but when you're only two or three in a sanctuary, it's a pretty depressing thing, I can promise you that. And you got to get really, really anointed if you're in a sanctuary all by yourself. Dad, when I first started preaching, one of the things that he had me do on Fridays, I was on the radio. Of course, I was a disc jockey, but then when I started preaching, we did a Friday afternoon broadcast on the radio from 3 to 3:15 called Youth Alive. And I was in a room with Brother William Kelly, who ran the controls, and Brother Kelly was hard of hearing, so he was about 75 years old. And he did the controls, and he just kind of told you, you know, with hand signals, he had no idea what you were saying, or, you know, it didn't matter to him. So you get in a room, and you're there preaching all by yourself, and everything you say is coming right back off that white wall and going out over the Dayton area. If you're going to get anointed, it's going to be on you. There is nobody there to help you. There's nobody rubbing your back or patting you or standing on the side. And if you can learn to preach in a room of four white walls with a 75-year-old hearing impaired man and get anointed, you can preach to a couple hundred white folks on a Sunday morning and do all right. I promise you that. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Exodus this morning, chapter number 33, Exodus 33. Last Sunday morning, I referenced about pursuing the glory of the Lord, and all this week, this text has just kind of resonated in my heart, and I really feel like this is where we are at as a church body, as individuals, respective family members, and spouses, young people, and last Sunday night, boy, I enjoyed the presence of the Lord. I really did. Amen. Just enjoyed being in the presence of God. And I don't really believe that service has to be the abnormal. I don't believe that it has to be the infrequent move of the Lord. Amen. I really believe that in this last day, that if there will be people that will hunger and thirst after God, that if there will be people that really pursue the glory of God, I believe God is ready to bless his people. And you know what I loved about last Sunday night service was there was probably about 85% participation. I mean, it may have been 90, I don't know. I just took a glance once or twice. I was enjoying myself too much to worry if you wasn't. But it was making some of you highly uncomfortable. Because there was people standing all around you. There was people shouting all around you. Matter of fact, it made you stay a little bit longer than you normally do. It had you looking to see what was going on. Oh, I thought, Lord, this is what it is. Amen. This is if we would enjoy the presence of God. Amen. I'm glad to be saved, aren't you? And today I want to talk to you about a man that had one request in this chapter. He wanted to see the glory of God. He wanted God's glory. And I trust that's why you're in the house of the Lord today. You know, there are a lot of people that are here because it's Sunday. Really. I mean, stop. Think about it for the next 15 seconds. I mean, any time this morning, have you really stopped to think, Lord, show me thy glory? Or did you just wake up, hey, it's Sunday and it's time to go to church? But really, when we come to the house of the Lord, Lord, show us thy glory. Moses had an unbelievable job. He was going to try to take several million people on a journey somewhere they really didn't even want to go. So he pastored some 2, 3, 4, 5 million people. None of us would want his job, would we? It's hard enough keeping your family and yourself in line. But somewhere along the line, the people of God rebelled against the Lord, and that's detailed for us in the 32nd chapter. And Moses comes down and he deals with their rebellion. And in the 33rd chapter, God says, you know what? You all can have the promised land. Matter of fact, God says, I'm going to send an angelic escort. I'm going to send angels to escort you into Canaan land. You can have the land that flows with milk and honey. It's all yours. But I will not go with you. My presence will not go with you. I don't know what God could tell you today to get your attention. But if he told me, you can have the land that flows with milk and honey, but you're not going to feel my presence. I mean, alarm bells. I would fall on my face before the Lord. Because if there's one thing we should want, it's the presence of God in our life. When a church loses the presence of God, when we just go through the motions and don't enjoy or even have the presence of God. So Moses gets on his face before the Lord. In verse number 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, and all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee. I don't know what comes to your mind when he says, I beseech thee. But you got to, before we get to this request, I beseech thee. I don't know what comes to your mind, how Moses was intensely praying before the Lord, but it was not some kind of uninterested, impassionate, disconcerted prayer. I beseech, he's begging God. He is pleading with God. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Is that your request today? I mean, really, I'd love to see God's glory in my life. And as I prayed about this service today, we talked about having the glory of God in our services, and we may get there as a glory of God in a church, but today it's going to start with individuals. Before we get to the nation, before we can get to the church, we've got to start with individuals. And Moses said, show me thy glory. If you'd like to have the glory of God in your life, not anybody else's life, not in your spouse's life, not in your children's life, not in your parents, if you need the glory of God in your life, would you simply raise your hand toward heaven right now? Let's just begin to pray and ask God to bless this service this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we do praise you. Lord, we do magnify and glorify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to see your glory. I want your glory in my life. Lord, I want your presence. I want your power. Hallelujah, Lord, I'm not content to go through the motions. Lord, I'm not content to go through just routine, but Lord, show us thy glory. Let me have your presence in my life, oh God, as a preacher, as a Christian, as a worker for God. Show me thy glory. Oh God, be it done today. Be it done today, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. May the Lord bless you as you're seated this morning. This request I want to talk to you about today. Pursuing God's glory as a person. Pursuing God's glory as a person. I want to talk to you about Moses' request and then God's response and then the results that happen in Moses' life. But it is Moses' request, show me thy glory. Amen. God, take us to a place where we're not content just to go through the motion. God, take us to a place where we're not satisfied just being in the sanctuary, just hearing the songs of Zion, just reading along with the preacher as he takes a text and throwing an offering in the pan. But God, take us to the place where our heart beats after the water brooks as the heart pants after. So my soul panteth after thee, O God. As David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I really believe this is where we are at. If we as individuals, not as family members, not as a church, but as individuals this morning, if we would get a hunger and a thirst after the glory of God and say as Moses prayed, Lord, show me thy glory. Lord, let me have your presence in my life, in my singing, in my preaching, in my worship, in my teaching. Let me have your glory. Amen. You know, one thing that we never find recorded in God's word, and it is amazing, and that is Moses never wanted to go back to Egypt. Never one time found in the word of God is Moses ever requesting a trip back into Egypt. Over and over and over again, the people of Israel, you've brought us here to die. You've brought us here just to die in the wilderness. Oh God, that we could go back. Oh God, that you would have never brought us out to die in the wilderness. Anytime trouble came, they were always wanting to retreat and go back to Egypt. And there's some people like that in church world, on your job, in your family. Anytime there's trouble, they will do anything they can to avoid any trouble. But brother and sister, amen, God, give me the spirit of Moses. Amen. When I left Egypt, amen, I did not look back. Amen. When I had a chance to get out of Egypt, amen, and I've never looked back. Amen. There's never been a day and there's never been an hour nor a moment when I thought for one instance or one iota, God, let me go back into Egypt. But oh God, I'm like Moses when he fell in love with the presence of God, and it said, God, amen, I left Egypt because you were not in charge. The Pharaoh was in charge. We couldn't worship like we wanted to back there. You weren't the God of Egypt. They were serving pagan gods. But Lord, I'd rather be right here in the midst of the wilderness and have this little makeshift tent and to be able to worship you than to be promoted down into Egypt. Think about it, friend. Amen. Moses wasn't suffering hardship in Egypt. He was sipping at the palace tables. He was second in command. But he could not worship Jehovah because Pharaoh was worshiping pagan gods. And so Pharaoh, we know through the hardening of his heart, God allows his people to be delivered. And there Moses is praying in the wilderness. And he said, God, I'd rather be right here in the wilderness. Amen. And have your presence in my life and to be able to worship and sing the songs of Zion than to be in Egypt and have the palaces and to have the fame and the fortune. Lord, show me thy glory. They may not want it. Even some of my own congregation, Moses said, wants to go back into Egypt. But God, show me thy glory. This is why I left Egypt. This is what drew me out of Egypt. Moses fell in love with the presence of God. Hey friend, get this morning. Amen. Sometimes I've watched people fall in love with sanctuaries. I've watched them fall in love with positions. I've watched them fall in love with the little nameplates on the pews, the table they bought, light bulbs they paid for, fall in love with a lot of things except the presence
presence of God. Watch the presence of God leave the sanctuary. Look like a polar bear in the pulpit. Just polar bears in the pews. The presence of God nowhere. No worship, no singing, no fire, no joy, no peace. And everybody sit there and just say, well, isn't life grand? No, friend, 1,000 times no. It is my insatiable heart cry. We've got to have the presence and the power of an almighty God. Moses said, show me thy glory. I wonder what God could do with the church if there'd be a church full of people that said, show me thy glory. I tell you what he could do. It'd be like Sunday night when the presence of God cascaded from above and split asunder this sanctuary, and there were teenagers shouting on the platform, and moms and dads running the aisles, and grandma and grandpa's weeping in the presence of God. Friend, that's what God could do again if the request would be made known. Lord, show us thy glory. You say you want us to shout on a Sunday morning? No, 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 no. When Moses enjoyed the presence of God, he fell down on his face before God. But there's got to be a response. Amen. The church is just going through the motions. Amen. The general church world has narrowed it down to a few 60-minute lessons on Sunday morning. They can come into the sanctuary. They can drink coffee and chew on donuts. At the same time, they speak in tongues and enjoy the presence of God. I say 1,000 miles. Take me away from that. Get me to the place where I can encounter a life-changing, a transforming, an almighty power. When I get in God's presence, the last thing I want is a cup of coffee or a stale Krispy Kreme. When I come into the presence of God, I want to feel him down deep in my rib. I want to feel him in my hands. I want to feel him in my feet. And my prayer this year as a preacher, my prayer is, Lord, show me thy glory. I'm not going to give in to that lukewarm, charismatic, complacent spirit. God, I'm not willing just to get up and preach to say I preach. But God, would you let me feel your divine presence? Would you shake my life? Would you stir me, oh God? That's why Sunday night, not that I want to build a memorial out of that, but I'm telling you, friend, that is the normal. Dead, cold, lukewarm, impassionate worship should not be the standard. Sunday night should be the standard. Because when God invaded your life, some of you began to raise hands. Nobody had to cheerlead you. Nobody had to direct you. Nobody had to beg for praise. Nobody had to beg. Can somebody praise the Lord? But there were men and women. Oh God, there were men and women that were laid out before him, entertaining the divine presence of God. If that doesn't interest you, friend, then you've got the wrong sanctuary. There's a lot of sanctuaries that are having shows this morning. But God, I don't want a show. I don't want a performance. I want your power. I want your glory. I want that awesome power of God that drew me out of sin to radiate in my life. One more time. Let me reiterate it. Sunday night is the norm. Dead, lukewarm, worshipless services should not be the standard. It should not take 45 minutes of worship songs to get somebody to say, Lord, show me thy glory. We should start most of our services where we end them. What do you mean? Because by the time we have had church and prayed and had a little fire of God, it's just now time to see where God would really take us. But by the time we're really enjoying the presence of God, well, we got to go. We got to go. Let's not get it all one service now. Let's come back for them. You know, don't give it all to them today. Come on, we got to get them come back tonight. Lord, show me. Show me. Show me. If you don't think this church world wears out Pentecostal holiness preachers, you need to talk to the ones I talk to. It takes a lot of energy to try to have a move of God. If the preachers would quit fighting that complacent tide, we'd all just sit down and look at one another, and we'd build a monument to the past and say, well, thank God we kept it as longer than anybody else. But there's just nothing we can do in this day and hour. It's too bad of a day. It's too rough. Nobody wants holiness. You can't keep any young people. It's just too hard. People are too worried about their money. They're too busy working. Inflation, the house prices, gas price. You might as well cut out midweek service. We're not even getting enough in the offering to pay the light bill on Wednesday night. Besides, everybody's paying $3 a gallon for gas. It's just, if you gave into all of that, we'd turn out the lights, we'd shut the doors, and the devil would have a heyday. But you know what I felt the last few weeks? Amen. I have felt that re-energizing power of the Spirit of God. Amen. That God telling his church, amen, I'm not dead. I am still alive. I'll still move in the hearts of my people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves together and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I've been hearing from heaven. I've been feeling the power of God. I don't need camp meeting to get me stirred up. I've been so stirred up the last couple weeks, my friend. I felt the glory of God and the power of God. My God is not buried in the Middle East somewhere, but my God, my Jesus, the Lord of my life. I said he's alive with all power in heaven and in earth, and he promised in the last days he would pour out his Spirit. You know what I've asked God for this week? The way they worshiped when they were seeking the Holy Ghost. Take them back there. That's where I've asked God to take you. Take them back to when they were seeking for the Holy Ghost. Oh, what do you mean? Well, how long? Were you the first one to the altar? Were some of you the last ones to leave? Did anybody have to tell you? No. Your request, Lord, show us thy glory. You and I will never figure out why some people come to church. There's books written about people like that. You will drive yourself crazy. All they really want to know is what's going on. You see, their lives are so empty, irrelevant, unfilled, and unimportant. They just come to church to see if you got a new suit, a new car, a new girlfriend. And then they can tell somebody else about it. They don't ring my phone. They don't. Well, that's so-and-so. I got over people like that a long time ago. Because what I found, when you build a fire, you get close to that fire, Brother Pope,
Build that fire around that lake. Build that fire in the midst of the forest. What's going to happen, Brother John? Not going to be any gnats. Not going to be any bugs. Not going to be any mosquitoes. They can't stand the fire. That was worth coming to church for right there. I solve half your problems if you just get close to the fire. All the mosquitoes, all the gnats, all the things that really bug you will be gone. Oh, God, show us thy glory. They really bug me. Get close to the fire. She really bugs me. Get close to the fire. The way that just bugs me. Get close to the fire. Get close to the fire. Get close to the fire. Oh, God responded. Moses said, show me thy glory. And God said, I will. I will. I'll do it. There's a place by me. Oh, hallelujah. Would you love for God to look down today and say, come here, come here, come here. There's a place by me. I still move. I still heal. I still save. I still see revival. My power is still real. There's a place by me for the young people. There's a place by me for mom and dad. There's a place by me for grandma and grandpa. There's a place by me. But there's got to be a response. I just feel God right here. I don't ever like to show it. I'm a very private person. I don't like to worship. I like to keep it in. Keep it close. Come here, let me stomp your toe and see if you like to keep it in. Let the waitress triple charge you for that sweet tea. See if you like to keep it in. You don't like to keep it in. There's nothing to keep in. It's empty. It's barren. So when Moses felt the power of God, he fell down. Humility. Worship. Transformation. Relationship with Jehovah. You see, when the power of God moves in your life, there's going to be a change. You may feel like jumping. You may feel like running. Last Sunday night, I felt like crying. I just was overwhelmed how great my God was. And I could not get over the fact that how great He is. His Spirit was coming into my life. I just could not get over that truth. And I walked up and down this aisleway just weeping and crying. Overjoyed, overwhelmed by the presence of God. That He loves us so much. That He saved me, sanctified me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. And He's doing everything He can to get me out of this sin-cursed world. You may feel like weeping. But there's going to be evidence. It's going to be a response. Every time God moved, there was a response. If He spoke, something happened. If He moved, something happened. And it's going to be the same thing in your life. If that same Spirit, which raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. It's going to be a response. It's going to be worship. Oh, God, let it be. I want Sunday night service to so sink in your mind because I think that's the standard. You see, here's what I want. If what would happen if we started service right there?
Oh, I can still preach. I'd much rather preach to people that shouted than people that haven't. Isn't that amazing? People will shout and run for 15, 20 minutes. Well, okay, we've had a good service. Let's go home. No preaching. Which, that's fine. Sometimes you don't need to preach. Do you have a Bible for that? Absolutely. There were times the glory of God moved and the priest could not stand to minister. So to say you've got to have preaching is to be unbiblical. So I'm not going there. God can do whatever he wants to do. The key's not about my preaching. The key's about what God wants to accomplish in the service. But the point I'm trying to drive home is that we ought to come ready to worship. We ought to come ready to worship. We ought to come seeking the Lord. Show me. Not show us. Not show the church, because preachers sometimes, we can tell you how to do it, but sometimes we're negligent. Lord, show me. Show me thy glory. I really felt like I'd come in here and talk today and combat some people. That we need to go back to that place. You need to go back to that place where God invaded your life through the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to go back to that place. Show me. Show me. Not show my family. Not show my wife. Not show my children. Not show my pastor. Not show my church. Show me. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? This is what I would love to see for every one of us here this morning. Show me. Show me thy.